Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning service with the Fisherman Ministry in South Carolina. Let's worship the Lord.
Lay aside your majesty, gave, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. Paid the price and I am yours. Forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me. Gave your life to set me free. Lift my voice to you in celebration. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You had guilt and shame when you dug in. Now today you reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have paid the price and I forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in celebration. You laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you had created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. You reign in heaven and earth exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have paid the price and I am yours. Forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in service.
For us.
I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have paid the price and I am yours. Forever and ever I will serve you. You're the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in celebration.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, your
Coca-Cola makes me sing. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, 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 your love makes me sing. Praising forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever.
Good morning, everybody. I know, Brad, one of the things that you were talking about is about getting that space where you're hitting the walls, where you're not accepting that truth that is presented to you. And one of the things is when you actually give yourself space, that's really not a good thing. I mean, what's going on there is the truth is being given unto you, but it's you that's giving yourself space. You got free will. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, remember, if we take a look at the scripture, and so giving that space is not actually a good thing, because then you kind of just give space for you not to go forward, and you can let all kinds of things and doubt and unbelief come in the way and keep you from going forward, and it's really not healthy. Do you understand? And I believe in the scripture where it talks about where Paul was talking about the Grecians, I think. Bereans. Okay. Yeah. I think we talked about this on Hour of Truth at some point, where actually they took what Paul said as the word of God and believed it. But then they went back and checked it with the scripture, with the word as well, which is absolutely do it. Absolutely do that. But one thing that they did first was they just accepted it. They just received it. And see, that's the place where you move forward quickly. You know, you allow yourself space and time, things can kind of go south in that space or time until you receive that thing and move forward in it. And you've seen that in action. You've seen that in play. So it's a place where you go, just receive it. Check it with the word and go forward. And then you don't give that space of the chance for the enemy to come in. Okay. But, which kind of brings me to a place where I actually want to go to anyways. That's kind of cool. That worked out. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." See, the gospel was preached unto them. You know, I'm taking it back to the day of provocation, back to the children of Israel when they were in the desert. And they had that word and that gospel preached unto them, but they did not profit them one bit, did it? They didn't lay a hold of God's promise. Well, because of unbelief, they didn't grab a hold of that promise and receive that promise. And not just because of unbelief, but also it says right here, it did not prop them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So you can hear the truth, just like you're talking about. You can hear the truth. You can have the gospel preached to you. You can have the word of the Lord come down and minister unto you. But if you don't believe it, or you don't receive it, you have free will. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to receive it. But it's not going to profit you. It's not going to profit you. As it didn't with that first generation. It didn't profit them one bit, did it? I know from experience some of the things that you're talking about there. Trust me. Understand. But we're going to find out somebody who understands even better. "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Unbelief. See, this rest that we're talking about, that he's talking about here, is not taking that Sabbath day and making it a holy day and all these. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about ceasing from your own works and entering into his rest. The works that we have done before we knew Christ. And right now, remember, I know he's talking about, and kind of put it in context there, he's talking about the Hebrews. And they were Jewish. But I want to put it in context for us because we can draw something out of it. Because before we knew Christ, we did all kinds of works that we thought were great. We fancied as being something that was good. And they were not. They were not at all. And when it's like, how can I put it? It's like when I go and I enter into his rest, I ceased from my own. So with his might and his strength and by his faith and by his spirit, I go forward and move in. See, it doesn't fall on me and my ability, my capabilities, my strength, not even my own faith. See, that's me trying to do it. And see, when I tried to do it, it never worked out. You know, I did a really good job of screwing up. I just have an excellent testimony of absolutely screwing up. See, that's my own works. See, that's my own works. But see, he's called us to cease from those works and enter into his rest. Now, when I entered into his rest, that abundantly above I can ask or think happened. And when I operated in his strength and his might and in his grace, it was just amazing. It's just amazing. It was like me grabbing hold of that promise and the power of the gospel. And you can see it move in my life in a mighty way. In a mighty way. I mean, I remember Hope and I'm kind of going back as a testimony. I remember Hope and I getting shacked up, getting her knocked up. We weren't married. I had no job. She was at home living with her mother, with a house full of people, an unhealthy place for her daughter, Briley. Okay, and we come to the Lord. Okay, now see, that's what our work's done for us. See, that's what worked for us. Okay, I mean, that's what we did, and it wasn't good. It wasn't healthy. It was an absolute catastrophe when you looked at it. And not only that, Hope had charges against her. She had charges. I mean, she had trafficking charges, and I'm not talking about trafficking marijuana. I'm talking about some hard stuff that she had charged against her. Okay. Now, what the Lord had was so much better. And he took that upside down, messed up situation, scary situation. I'm talking for me, scary situation. And he had something so much better. So much better. That what happened was that he provided me a job. He provided us a home. He delivered Hope from the charges that was against her. See, that power of that gospel and what he has done was amazing. Was absolutely amazing. And yet, it's those things that the suggestions that were given to me, I took heed to and I went forward in. And not that the suggestions, it was because of what I had done. Because what I had done was cause a mess. Okay? No, it's because of what he had done. And that the word of the Lord was being preached to me throughout that situation. And the suggestions that came down from the Lord through his ministers unto me. And when I took heed of those things and went forward in those things and was told to believe and trust God in those things, I did that I wouldn't say I did that awesomely. That's not what I'm getting at. But I took heed to those things and I went forward in it and I believed God. I chose to believe God and I had to choose to believe God again and again and again. And I kept going to the ministers that the Lord had set over to me again and again and again. Because guess what? I had doubts again and again and again. But what happened, what the Lord had showed me, just like the children of Israel, and I would say in the first generation, because I was more the state that I was in, was that he had abundantly above that I can ask or think happened. It was just like us being delivered from the enemy. It was just like us, God showing his power to us, like while we were in the captivity of our own choices that we had made. Just like us, that was Hope and I, and those with those captors all around us, which were the Egyptians. And the Lord showed his power to those people, and not only just showed his power, but he delivered us from those captors that were around us, and once again, from our own doing. And it was just like that. I mean, it was the same thing. And what we had, and what we walked out of there, what we should walk out of there with, was that we can believe God. We can choose to believe God. He does not want any evil will for us. And we can trust him. We can trust solely on the gospel and what he's done, and that he paid the price for all of our sin. He paid the price for all of our sin, and that he has set us free from the bondage and the corruption of this world. And it doesn't matter how incapable you are, what your strength or weaknesses are, it really doesn't matter, because it's all about his capability, what he has done, what he has finished, and the victory and the promise that he has for you. And not just for you only, but he paid the price for the sins of the whole world, and that anybody that wants to get on his plan can. But you do have free will. We see it right here in Hebrews 4. It didn't. That promise was for that first generation. It was for the children of Israel. They could have entered into that promised land. And yet we did have a couple of examples of people from the first generation that did. And that was Joshua and Caleb. Not only that, when I was talking about, it's not about what your capabilities are, what your strengths are, it's about his strength, his capability. It was Caleb that was promised a part of a land. And yet at 90 years old, he went and took that land, because it was promised to him, and he believed God for that promise. He believed God for that promise, and it did not matter how old he was, how strong he was. See, just like it did not matter with Sarah and her being out of age to have a son. When she conceived is when she believed God for the promise that was given to her. Guys, these are examples for us as well. It really is. It really is. And that power, that is right there for us to afford. And what do? We serve God with that. And that's where we need to know his will, be strengthened in his will to do his will. Because there's one plan. There's one will of the Father. And that's what we need to be about. And the promise that he's given us is just life eternal. I mean, praise God. But kind of got off there a little bit, but praise the Lord. Where did I leave? That entered in because of unbelief. And again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, once again, guys, what we have is availability of his word being preached to us. How his word is being preached to us is through his word and through his ministers. See, through his ministers, he directly uses that line of authority to give us his word for us. That thing that is in the way that keeps us from going forward and obtaining the promise that he has for you. And see, we have free will just like that first generation. Don't harden your heart like they did. Don't reject that truth like they did. Because it's not for your harm. I've seen it so many times, over and over again, where the Lord has good things for His people. But because of unbelief and the hardness of their heart and because of their pride, and it offends them, the correction at hand, or they just simply won't receive the truth, they are robbed. They are robbed from that promise. They are robbed from that promise. It's like the children of Israel. They were robbed from that promise. And there was really no one to blame except themselves because they hardened their hearts. They chose to not believe God. And to the point where they blamed God and put evil intent on God and put evil intent on God's minister there set before them. See, when you trust solely on Jesus Christ, and that in Him is light and there's no darkness at all, and we put our faith and trust in the power of the gospel and the power of that resurrection and what He has done and the victory that He has won. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that word that is being preached to you through His line of authority, and if they be in error, you go forward and you believe God. Because He will make it right for you, and He will make it right for the minister that maybe God gave you that wrong advice. Look at Abraham and Sarah, a prime example of just that. When that Pharaoh, or when that wasn't a Pharaoh, it was the king that took, Abraham told Sarah, tell him you're my sister. And then Abraham feared, and said, tell the king you're my sister, lest they kill me and take you. And the reason why he feared because he saw that there was no fear of God in that land. But see, the Lord used that anyways. It was amazing how the Lord is. And when so Sarah obeyed Abraham, could you imagine being a wife and your husband says, tell him you're my sister, and you tell him that you're his sister or sister, whatever. Anyways, but being taken away to the king to be his. I mean, that's got to be a scary situation. I mean, let's put it in reality. We read about these things, but we really don't put our minds in focus imagining what is really going on. I mean, that's a scary situation. But God used that. And Sarah's obedience is the thing that covered Abraham and covered her through the whole thing. And not just that, it was God's promise. She believed God. And it was God's promise that says, whoever will curse thee, I will curse them. And whoever will bless you, I will bless them. And so God showed up at that king's door. And man, scared him. God told him, why'd you tell him he was my sister and not your wife? What are you doing? Trying to get me killed? Please pray for me. I'm sure there's a fear of God started happening. So the Lord used that in a mighty way because it's all about Him, folks. It's all about Him. 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He had not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's what I'm talking about. This is an example. That first generation is an example. And we have the testimony of God in our lives, just like the children of Israel did when he showed up for them and showed them his power. He showed us his power. Okay? He destroyed their enemy. He destroyed our enemy. The power of this flesh, this flesh, that old dead man, he destroyed it. Took it away out there on the cross. And we've seen it. We've known it. We can have confidence. And it's been revealed to us. It's been revealed to us in a way that we have all spoken and testified. And we've seen it work in his ways, and how that line of authority works, and how that anointing comes down from the head to the bottom. And how that word that is preached to us, that true word, was because a minister came and revealed that gospel unto us, revealed that love of Christ to us, has shown that love of Christ, have seen that power work mightily in our life. Just like the children of Israel, where Moses was the messenger of God for them. They had a minister too in front of them. There's no difference. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's Jesus Christ. And that availability is to us right now. Right now, this day, this moment, this time. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, you know what this reminds me of? You can't hide anything from the Lord. It kind of reminds me of when David commits adultery. David starts moving, that brain starts working now. Man, how can I cover this up? How can I cover this up? All right, let's call Uriah back from the war. Let's see if we can get him to, spend the night with his wife, and that what I did is not known. All right, that didn't work. And then he goes and he ends up getting Uriah killed and these things. And was that thing hid from the Lord? Now, everybody else? Yeah, it covered it up. Everybody else knew it except the one over David. Except the one over David, which was who? Nathan. Because remember, the prophet was over the king back then. Okay, and then Nathan came down and revealed the word of the Lord to David. You can't hide that. Can't hide from the Lord. You might be able to fool others, but you can't fool the Lord. He can't fool him. And what David did, because I've been guilty, just like David. Done the same things David has, except physically done some things. But it did the same thing in my heart. Just as guilty. Just as guilty. I've been addressed just as guilty. Okay, but what David did was he went and he humbled himself before the Lord. And what he got over there was the gospel revealed unto him. And the Lord used that anyways, because what was happened was the grace of God was manifested not only to David, but the whole country of Israel. See, he's a redeemer. He's well able, folks. He's well able. And as David stopped the hiding as soon as he was called to account, that's what we ought to do. We should be bringing ourselves and count unto the Lord on a daily. But anyways, don't want to get off subject here too much. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us there come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can go to the Lord about anything. Anything. There's not a single thing that you can go to him and him say, and you say, Lord, you just don't understand. Because that's not the case. He does understand. And I don't care what it is that your struggles or your battles or whatever the case may be, you can go to him with it all. He actually wants you to. Last week we talked about casting all of our care upon him. Okay, and that he was able to settle you, strengthen you, establish you. We can go boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy. When we need to find mercy, just like David wrote, when you need to find mercy is when mercy, being throwing yourself at the mercy of the seat of the court, it's when you recognize that you are guilty. Guilty. You know what David said in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy tender mercies, according to thy loving kindness. I might be messing that up, and forgive me. But he understood, and he came to the knowledge, and became honest with himself. And he did not play the lie as Saul did not play the justification, did not play any of those things. Now he came directly to the Lord and said, Lord, I am guilty. I am guilty. It's amazing. It really is amazing, the love of Christ. It is amazing that he can yet love us while we were at our worst, and yet love us while we're yet sinners. And it's amazing that the promise that he has for us and what he's done for us to take hold of that gospel and enter into that rest and become a part of his plan, a part of his victory. It's right there for us, man. The Lord has laid it up on a tee for us to grab a hold on to. He really has. He really has. And that word, that Lord loves you. I mean, because he sends his ministers to come talk to you. He sends his ministers to watch over you. In the sense of to give you that word. He does. That word of God. For you to receive and to move forward in. But he can't make you take it. He can't make you grab a hold of it. He can't make you go forward in it. He can't make you believe it. See, that's where it comes to you to step out and to do. I know earlier this week there were some things that came about my way that was quite frankly a testimony of things that weren't going very well, and my natural tendency would to be to go ahead and to, well, it's because I went ahead and shrunk down from the situation and saying like, all right, there's a storm going on. I'm going to poke my turtle head in my turtle shell and hopefully it just blow over. No, but if I did that and did that, no, things would just get worse. No, what I had to do was I had to choose to believe God, believe His Word, believe the Word that came down through His ministers unto me. Especially my discipler. And I had to step out in that direction and believe God for it. And when I took the stand, boom, I was on top of the water like Peter. And all those things melted away. But that was me choosing to believe God. It's time for all of us to choose to believe God and step out of the boat and receive that word with faith so it becomes profitable and we become servants to Him according to His plan. So let's step out, folks. Let's step out. Let's truly believe God and line ourselves up with His will. Enter into His rest, cast off our own. Amen.
Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that He can stand against the devil. For you know
listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.